This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bellware live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Folks coming in, hanging out, and having a good time. Mike, there's so much going on, man, right now. It's funny. We wish sometimes we could record the conversations in between our breaks because of the stuff that's going on. But Turtle has filled me in on the triple entendre of the no-swipe situation that the NFL has now banned. And a lot of guys hitting you up and saying, look, you know, honestly, I don't pay attention to these celebrations
right.
as closely as others. I know the league has to because there could be implications of, you know, guys being involved in stuff that maybe they shouldn't, and this is their signal, okay?
Right.
I get it. But, Mike, honestly, when a guy scores a touchdown, I'm happy for them to score, and I don't get caught up in, oh, my God, he just did the wild chicken, and that must mean something. I don't do that.
Well, only to West Coast Crips. That means apparently he's encouraging murdering your family. No, I mean, all these, the codes and everything. So apparently when you're sniffing your nose, you're inferring you killed somebody. So, again, we learn something new every day as we advance. And maybe that's why the NFL is going to take it away. But as we said, how many folks actually know that?
Well,
now
zero.
You know. Well, now you know, at least here in Metro Atlanta.
I'm willing to bet that everybody riding, most guys riding around right now, right. unless you're related, did not know that, okay? I'm guaranteeing you. So anyways, listen, I understand to a lot of our listeners' points, and you're texting us, and you can find us, by the way, on social media, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show's Dukes and Bell. All to Mike's point, stay out of our game. I want less penalties. I want less refereeing. I want less. Okay? Let the game play out. But I understand why the league is trying to protect its brand.
Right.
But I understand.
I just think, you know, there's so many things that are more important right now in the NFL. You got the worst refereeing of all the major sports.
Give me one of the things.
Fix the officiating. Make it truly accountable. Get some new blood in here. Really have this thing. Have an officiating academy, Carl. You're the most rich damn league in the friggin' planet. I don't want guys being principals and attorneys and whatever they do when they're not on the field. Yeah, literally. Guys like, what are you supposed to do? Watch film every day? Yes. Yeah. Mm. Professional refs. Yes. That you because you're telling me it can't be better? I want review for instant replay. While you're monkeying around with all these stupid rules, bring back the old kickoffs. They can sign a waiver. I get it. We want to avoid neck and brain injuries. It's a dangerous sport. Okay? You regulate it too much. Eventually, you will kill the golden goose. But the way things are going, Carl, they're printing money.
They are.
So it's all this window dressing. Everything about the concussions is all nonsense. They don't give a flip about that. I mean, come on. It's a joke. But anyway, that just drives me crazy. Fix the officiating. Get the things right that you don't get right. You know, and let's have things simple, Carl, so we all know what a catch is. When a sport basically takes something simple, like now the average fan doesn't even know what a catch is anymore, there's something wrong with the sport in my mind.
No, look, it has fundamental issues. And here's another thing. Wow, here's another
thing. And another thing.
Why can't we have replay on the things that we need to have replay on? That's what's bothering me.
That's my thing. Look, and the funny part about it, and I know I rant this about every 2 or 3 weeks, you got replay on pass interference because they blew the NFC Championship game. Now, luckily for us, it caused the Saints ultimately to fail in overtime. We didn't get them stuck in Atlanta. We'd be stuck with that. And they might have given the Patriots a better game than the Rams. But, Carl, they went back and they put it on the books for 1 year just to take it away.
Yep.
And Rich McKay could come on our show and talk in circles because he's an attorney. And I still don't understand the logic behind it. It's a very important call that changes so often the complexion of a football game. And late in the game, flipping the field is huge. I wish that was reviewable. But they won't.
You guys can let us know what you think. Again, text us at 404-726-0929. Coming up, some guy talks on the way this hour. Next hour, we're going to talk to our buddy Mark Raimondi about the Falcons and get the latest on what's going on with our team as we continue to go around the NFL. And then we will go around the league with one of our favorite dudes in Frank Schwab, who stops by to talk about the latest on this quarterback carousel that continues. But right now, let's talk some dogs. So, Mike, Gunnar Stockton apparently is leading the way at spring ball. Kirby said, quote, he understands what we're trying to do. He's been through it. I mean, I think about if we had all Gunners.
team of Gunners.
At every position, they'd understand the volume of reps, what we're trying to do. He knows the offense inside and out. Mm. Then I get frustrated and impatient, Kirby Smart said, when other guys don't know it like he knows it. And he goes on to say that basically, Mike, Gunnar Stockton right now is ahead of the game. Okay, that's good news. We were talking about whether he was going to have a fair, this was going to be at least a competition with Ryan Puglisi. Obviously, it's not going to be. He is far ahead of whatever
Puglisi
is.
If there were two quarterbacks in that room and one had one throw and one had another, the guy with one throw is starting. Kirby always defers to the best. Now, look, he's not locked into it because, as we know, JT Daniels never got his position on the field back when Stetson Bennett took over after an injury in the Clemson game. So it's not like he's locked in, but there is a trend and a tendency. Look, I like what I saw from Gunnar Stockton. Certainly, you did not do a good job of protecting him. You put him in a really difficult position going for it in less than a minute, which created that turnover. You know, you could have made 3 or 4 decisions that really cost you that game against Notre Dame. I don't put that on the shoulders of Gunnar Stockton.
I don't either.
But I haven't been – but you can't
That's
tell
coaching.
Me. But I don't know definitively that Gunnar Stockton can be the man either yet.
So Kirby's basically talking about how young this team is. And look, this is good and bad for dog fans to take it, you know, one way or the other. His remarks about it being a young team have become consistent this spring. He's talked about them not being able to take criticism, coaching them hard. Here he's talking about there are guys who just don't understand what we're trying to do. Mike, part of this is he can mold this group however he wants. The last few years, he's had guys that have been in it long enough, the 2 and 3 year and guys, some of those guys have been there 4 years.
Right.
They knew what the expectation was. Kirby didn't have to coach as hard because somebody was going to get on the other guy's butt. Now he's telling you, I got a young group, talented, but we're young. I can mold them, and all this stuff is all mind games. This everything he's saying right now about these guys, they don't want to take criticism. They don't understand what we're trying to do. They're not working hard enough. I wish we had 15 of these kind of guys.
Yeah.
It makes everybody feel some kind of way, and hopefully these guys respond.
Well, but that's the thing, and it's funny because we get comments from Georgia fans, you know, all the way out to Athens, big antenna here on 92.9 The Game. But guys are like, man, can you really crack the whip or throw that kind of message out there, knowing that guys, it's not like you're mentally,
I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, it's not like you're mentally soft.
Yes, you are.
Well, a little bit.
Yes, you are.
But you're just going to jet. You're going to take your ball, and you're going to go to another team. So the question I've had is, you know, you went undefeated, the perfect season in 2022, and now it'll be the third year since then, and the margin for error has been closed. It's so tight now. You don't have the depth. You had two guys that could start on defense and offensive line 3 years ago. You don't have that now.
No, you don't.
As a matter of fact, last year, that's what I'm worried about, this offensive line. You have an offensive line that wasn't very good. They all went to the pros, and the guys that are coming up now this year weren't good enough to replace those guys who got their butts whipped by Notre Dame. So, and at times, other SEC schools like Ole Miss on the road in Oxford. So I just think you really better nail. That's why when I get on the case about Bobo and the offensive line coach and Stacey Searles, you better get it right because everybody is on your level now. The elite top 15 to 20 teams are on your level.
Let's hear Big O back at the studio, Gunnar Stockton, talking about his relationship with Ryan Puglisi. And then we're going to let you hear what he said, Mike Gundy said, by the way, as we talk about spring football. Everybody seems like, Mike, they're trying to reinvent the spring game. And Mike Gundy, who ironically is still at Oklahoma State, was talking about a potential spring game versus OU because they don't play him anymore. Right? They're not in the same conference. So you're trying to create ways to create some interest but not get your guys hurt. But before we get to that, here's Gunnar Stockton on his relationship with his competition, Ryan Puglisi.
Ryan's a great guy. Heck, he's a good friend. And that's the thing about Georgia. I mean, there's going to be good competition everywhere. So and I wouldn't want it any other way. So, no, Ryan's a great guy, and he's a great player.
I mean, I listen, to me, you know what that sounds like? What do you want me to say? It's my job, and he's not taking it. Gunnar Stockton, you hear it in his voice. Just, Mike, one of these kids, just, hey, you feel it. He's going to work hard.
You don't monkey around. He's here for business, man.
He's a nice guy. I mean, we're here to work. That's what I get from Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah, and I'm going to kick his butt.
That's right.
Yeah, I respect him, but I'm here to win. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win this job as a QB.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And that's cool. And we like Puglisi. And you know, Kirby has got a gut. Like, my biggest concern with this team is in the trenches.
Yeah.
I think you certainly upgraded it at the wideout position through the transfer portal. You feel better about that. You got some good running backs, provided they hold on to the football. But, man, to me, you're going to win and win or lose with Georgia this year in the trenches.
Here is Mike Gundy. Listen.
I'm a man. I'm still here, despite all the irresponsible things I say.
Well, his team wasn't good either last year. I thought he was going to get got. But here's the thing. How do you reinvent the spring game if it still matters to you without annihilating your fans and still getting the work in you need? We know there are teams around the country who are saying, oh, we're not doing it. Kirby even said, hey, our game's not going to be on TV this year. Here's Gundy talking about a potential spring game against OU. Mike, could you see Georgia playing, oh, I don't know, Auburn in their spring game?
If they didn't have on the schedule, I'd watch that. But no.
You're not doing that.
No.
Here's the deal. Here's Mike Gundy with his comments.
Honestly, that's something that we've talked about. I think it's a great idea. I have kind of forgot about it until it got brought up. I mean, honestly, for us, we should do a home and home with OU in the spring. Charge $25 a head. They can use it for NIL. We'll use it for NIL. Nobody really has live scrimmages anymore, so you make it a full thud like we're doing and practice against them just like they do in the NFL. We're moving towards the NFL. Why not do that? So I think it would be a great idea.
I love it.
I do too.
I mean, hell, if you couldn't find anybody in of that caliber team, you could bring Georgia Southern in the old Irk Russell tradition and let Georgia Southern play Georgia something.
Somebody that's not on your schedule.
Right. It's something the fans and as a tie-in locally to people who want to go see it. I think that'd be kind of fun.
I do too. And Mike Gundy's on to something here because you're always trying to raise more money for NIL. And I'm going to tell you something. The stadium would be full. Because of the rivalry that they've had.
Like I said, I'm just using Georgia State, but Southern as an example. You know, that'd be kind of neat. I think you'd get 70,000 people to show up for that. Meanwhile, with Georgia, we talked about the football, something about NIL and the transfer portal. It's much more acute in the basketball side of things. On3 Sports first had that Silas Demery apparently entering the transfer portal. So arguably the best dog is gone, won't be back. Now, the initial expectations were Asa Newell was going to go pro. Even though he wasn't considered to be top 15 by some estimations.
Okay.
But Asa Newell was going to leave, and now you find out that Silas Demery's out. So Mike White's right back to square one with whatever he's got left, bringing in Dominique's son, who we understand is good, but it's not like we're not talking about Ant-Man here.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So just frustrated. That's why even more, you missed it. I went in on Mike White. That was a humiliating defeat.
Oh, they looked like they weren't ready to play.
Nope.
They looked flat. They were flat.
It was flat.
To quote Nate.
Oh, look what just showed up. Perfect timing.
Thank you so much.
Is that a turnover?
It is. All right, coming up, we are going to get into a little bit of this Stephen A. stuff, Mike. We gotta discuss. We'll let you hear his response to what LeBron said yesterday. Social media is going wild over this stuff, and a lot of comedians are taking shots like, come on, man, Stephen A., you're not that dude. Like, stop talking about swinging on guys and all of this kind of stuff.
Hey, Stephen A., your ego's writing checks your body can't cash.
We'll fill you in. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. We were talking about the triple entendre that Turtle brought up with the sniffing the finger situation in the NFL that they've banned. And did you hear Mike just go there? I was like, oh, I've learned, and it was interesting. And Mike's like, it's a gang sign. Thank you, Mike.
Well, I mean, you were talking, you're being very
thank
cryptic.
You, Mike. Yes, because I don't want to relate that information to somebody like, I heard on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah. Was that pun intended there, Mike? Cryptic?
Get it?
Yeah.
Anyways, well done. I just thought about that. We're out here at Twin Peaks.
I was just like, okay. I
it's a gang sign.
I was days old when I learned that's apparently means I just whacked somebody.
And you know? it also means a couple of other things.
Yeah, too. Or takes us back to junior high, as I brought up.
Well, look, whatever. I get why they're banning it, but it made me laugh as we were talking about it. You know what else is making me laugh, Mike Bell?
Tell me. Testify.
This whole situation between Stephen A. and LeBron. Now, you all know, we talked about it weeks ago, when Stephen A. was at a Lakers game, confronted by LeBron, right, who basically Stephen A. owned, hey, he came to me as a father, right, to talk to me about his son.
And LeBron did it in a very LeBron way. LeBron's going to let everyone know what he's doing, kind of a showy way.
Okay, so that's where it all kind of, you know, started. So yesterday, LeBron went on the Pat McAfee show, and I just want you to hear one of the things he said. You can go look and check it out yourself, but I do want to let you hear this part of it before we play what Stephen A. had to say this morning. And now, believe it or not, Stephen A. has taken back one comment that he had put out there earlier today. But this is LeBron on his feud with Stephen A. Smith.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you can address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously, he completely, like, missed the whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players.
Okay, so that was LeBron. And again, there's more stuff there, but that was the gist of it, why I did what I did. So Stephen A. responded this morning, Mike, to what happened yesterday. Before we get to our comments, I want you to hear this. This is there's three separate sound bites here. One is Stephen A. responding to LeBron, and then the last one is what Stephen A. would have done if LeBron had put his hands on him. But first, here's what he said first.
His ass lies a lot, and there's a lot of shady stuff that he does. And one of the things is his passive aggressiveness and the two-facedness and smile in your face and dig you behind the back. I happen to know that about him, which is why I don't like him and he don't like me. But it doesn't stop me from being fair.
All right. There's a lot to unpack there. First off, you're putting yourself on the same level as a superstar athlete. And just real quick, because, you know, anytime that we go down this road, I always like to just preface by, yes, I would like to have Stephen A.'s job. I'd like to make, you know, $10 million a year from ESPN or more.
20.
Yeah, $200 million deal.
Yeah.
And I support everyone's hustle. But, you know, people, they raise to a position in the business, and they believe their own BS. They actually believe the stuff that comes out of their mouth, like Skip Bayless. You know, but for the grace of God, go I. We're very blessed. You know, you got the national gig with CBS, and you're doing TV, and I'm very happy that I've risen to where I've been from where I was, and this is where it basically ends for me. I'm going to be a local radio guy. It's cool. You know, some guys make it to ESPN.
Time out, though. It's a great job, and there are a lot of local cats that we know, including ourselves, who could be doing a lot more.
And that's my point.
But we have a great gig.
That's what I'm saying. It's great, and I'm happy, and believe me, you see what we're very blessed. Thanks for our audience for letting us live the lives we're living. But there's guys that get to this level, and they're so full of crap, and Stephen A. has now become one of those guys. He believes his own BS. He peddles BS. He is so full of crap, it's not even funny. He steps into areas he doesn't know anything about and bloviates on. I mean, like, I do my best to, if I make a mistake, I correct it immediately. If I get a fact wrong, he just trudges right on like Skip Bayless. And these guys get rewarded with bigger and bigger contracts. I think it's ridiculous. But anyway, Stephen A. better back this down, Carl, because he's going to really take a hit. This really kills his brand in so many ways.
So here's what else he had to say in response to what LeBron had to say on the McAfee show.
We ain't exchanging Christmas gifts. We ain't having Thanksgiving dinner together. What you bring your son up in there for? What you bring your family up in there before? You gonna go on Pat McAfee show, talk about you gonna protect your house. What you talking about? Your son ain't at the house. He's at Crypto.com Arena. We ain't covering him in Brentwood. We covering him in downtown L.A. at the Crypto.com Arena. Where you put them.
Now, fair enough. We said he put his son, Carl, in a very, you know, untenable position. But this is also about Stephen A. really in his feels that LeBron used a platform on his network of Pat McAfee to basically throw his stuff out there.
He is. And where he lives, what's that got to do with it? Seriously. Like, LeBron has earned everything he's got, but the idea that you throw it out there, well, it ain't your house in Brentwood. Well, who knew that? What does that have to do with anything? Like, this is why you know he's making it personal. And this is why I said I don't like the direction it's going.
Right. So, plus, he's doing it in this typical cartoonish, like, come on, dude. What are you doing? I mean, the whole over-the-top routine, it's just –
and by the way –
it's ridiculous.
Well, LeBron said, too, I don't mind you guys – he's talking about generally speaking, the media criticizing my game or whatever.
Right.
But that's why he said, but when you go after either my son or other players, I'm going to do my job to protect them. Last but not least, this is the comment that got everybody kind of going, all right, whatever. Stephen A. talking about he would have swung on LeBron when he was confronted in L.A. by him. Listen to this.
That man put his hands on me. I would have immediately swung on him. Immediately.
I mean, now, okay, I'd have paid to see that beat down.
Now, he has said today, that he knows he would have gotten his butt kicked by a 6'9", 250-pound guy.
Yes.
Okay? But the idea that just that alone was out there, and you're like, what did he just say? He was going to swing on LeBron? Yeah. It made people, you know, the comedians around the country, everybody's going in on this. But the bigger thing today, Mike, was, and this is what bothered you, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We came here. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We're hanging out. We'll be here till 7, guys. Lots more of Falcon conversation to get to. We got a pair of tickets to go see Ghost. Stay tuned if you're a Ghost fan. But what got you going today is you saw somewhere where Stephen A. accused LeBron of not doing something or being at a funeral.
Yeah, Stephen A. basically says LeBron was not at the Kobe Bryant memorial after Kobe lost his life in the tragic helicopter accident. And then we found out, and I was like, whoa. When I first saw that, I was like, whoa, because a couple guys hit me up on text messages of, you hear what he said about LeBron. Well, LeBron was there, and there's L.A. Times articles, there's New York Post articles, Washington Post articles that said LeBron was there and requested he not be filmed because it's not about him. It's about the memory of Kobe Bean Bryant. So Stephen, now you're making stuff up, okay, and into an area where, you and I are big Kobe fans. You're a huge Kobe fan.
Yes, I am.
Kobe is, like, sacred to a lot of people, and I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I'm a Michael fan, but I respect LeBron's game. But to throw that out there? That is, again, that's how petty Stephen A. Because Stephen A. basically, you got your pants pulled down on Pat McAfee's show. And now you're in your bag, so now you're just making stuff up.
So now, at 4:30, he has since come out and put out a social media post saying, I was incorrect. He was there. But I still stand by everything that else that I said.
Okay. Good for you, Steve.
So I guess that's his apology.
Yeah, that's you know,
I guess that's his apology,
that's
Mike.
That's the Dan Hurley apology.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But here's the deal. You should have never went there.
No.
You should have never went there. And that's the issue that I'm having with all of this. For all the stuff we're talking about LeBron and how you may dislike him and you think he controls the league and he controls this, that, and the other, this is simply about one man feeling a certain kind of way who has a platform that he can talk bad about a guy every single day.
Right.
And this time LeBron has gotten the best of him and he doesn't like it. So now it's all this other little stuff. What does him have to being at Kobe Bryant's funeral have to do with anything that you guys have been talking about?
Right.
Somebody tell me. What's that got to do with it? But what you're trying to do is piss people off
because
by saying it, Mike.
And you and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, when we get into the classic MJ versus LeBron, you know, if you go in and you get into, like, the guys underneath his fingernails, LeBron has never put a foot wrong. You know, yeah, I mean, at the time, you know, the decision was unprecedented. He also raised money for the Boys and Girls Club. Yeah, it was a little tacky, but still. So, I mean, it's not like something, you know, he got arrested for. His life has been above board. Yeah, I don't like the idea of bringing your kid into the family business if he's not up there. The NBA should be a meritocracy. It should be based on your ability. And that's fair. That's fair game. If Stephen A. wants to keep it above board, as we have, that's one thing. But to go down that road and start talking about, you know, putting your, you know, he took it. He always takes it a step further.
Yeah.
Because it's always full of hyperbole, you know. And it's just, now you're getting away from the facts. So, look, I just feel that in the media business, we do the best we can we go with what we know. You always say it. We go with what we know. You say, I don't start rumors.
I don't talk about them until, you know, I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out.
If it's out there, it's in social media. But, there, you know, there is something about being responsible. I know in this day and age, it's sort of become a race to get news out there, and there's so much nonsense and misinformation. You know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. But to me, it's just, you know, you've got a pretty lofty position. You know, we're enough people around the country have bought into your BS. That your platform, you need to maybe handle it with a little more common sense and respect if I was Stephen A.
It's Dukes and Bell. You guys can let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. That's our text line. Hit us up on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio shows Dukes and Bell 929. Mike Bell, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, brother. A comprehensive list of every disgusting food item that Major League Baseball stadiums are offering to people who really can take the time to eat with two hands. During a baseball game. I will explain that coming up next. We're live from Twin Peaks in Bucket. Guys, getting ready for the tournament. Braves are underway. Unfortunately, only able to push one across, Carl, with a chance to maybe get some more. We'll tell you about it coming up. What a play is play. We got a nice crowd here, guys. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, man. We'll be at the Twin Peaks Kennesaw store tomorrow. Come on down. Join the party. As we like to say, Carl, girls in lumberjack outfits want to meet you.
Yes,
well,
they do.
Maybe not you, the other guy, the other car. But anyway, we'll be at Kennesaw tomorrow. Right now here, we're getting ready for the tournament. Braves, by the way, one thing we did notice, not to give you the pictures, descriptions, and accounts without the express written consent of Major League Baseball, one trend we have seen is teams are trying Drake Baldwin. On the base paths.
Yeah, look, he is a rookie. He is a guy that's catching in his first Major League Baseball game. And the scouting report's pretty simple. I mean, they can look at what he did in AAA, but, Mike, let's test him. And defensively, this is where he's going to be tested. He's up, you know, he's going to get hits. He can rake. But teams are going to put pressure on him to show that he can be the defensive catcher that he needs to be for the Braves. So early on in this game, yeah, they're trying to run on him. And, you know, he's got to shut that down.
Right. Braves had a chance to break it open in the first. Unfortunately, could not, just came up with one, but it's a 2-1 now as we go to the top of the third. Hey, man, top of the second, I should say. All right, buddy, speaking of baseball, opening day around the nation. I don't know about you. What is your go-to at, for instance, Truist Park? Other than the great – the thing is, there's so many options in the battery.
There are.
And that's why everyone who's got a chance to put a shovel in the ground and build something next to a stadium is trying to build one right now. But I would say that if I haven't already stuffed my face before I've gone in, I'm old school. I'm a hot dog man. I'm a tube steak guy. Just give me a hot dog, some mustard, I'm good to go, man. Don't need no dipping dots. Don't need nothing with two hands. Matt, where do you fall?
I am simple, too. Look, I spent a lot of time at the ballpark. One of the reasons why I put on all this weight last 15 years. But when I did, Mike, you know, people don't realize this. You get to try all those foods, right?
Right.
And being up in the media area as you're watching a game, you don't realize how long nine innings is until the next day comes and you're watching more nine innings. But you're snacking on all this stuff. I'm a simple dude. I like a hot dog. Every now and then, they would have a hamburger. But it's simple. Like cheeseburger, you know, nothing fancy, nothing like
right.
You know, a super burger or anything. I like peanuts, Mike.
Right, and old school shucking a peanut,
I like peanuts,
salted
man.
Nuts, man.
Especially being in the stands. If you're in the stands, I like that. Give me an ice cold beer. But if something I got to sit in my lap with a knife and fork, that's a little bit too much.
And that's the thing. You know, for years, you know how I came down on the Nets. The Nets are here. They're not going away. So, but if you're above the Nets, you know, especially if you're sitting on the first, third base line, you may get a foul ball. I've never felt comfortable, to your point, having two hands on something that's like, you know, literally a giant serving plate in my lap. You know, no way. The reason I bring this up is, needless to say, other fans feel differently. Let's start with the most over-the-top meals around Major League Baseball today. Starting in Phoenix at the Chase Field, the Grand Slamwich.
What is that?
A 20-inch chicken parm meatball sub with tomato sauce, provolone, pesto, parmesan, a side of kettle chips, and other spices. It's an amazing sandwich, says the head honcho for their food and bev. But basically, here's – I'll show Carl what it looks like so you can describe to the audience. But basically
– oh, come on.
It's 20 inches of chicken parm and meatball
sub. Oh, it's 20
sub.
Inches.
Hey, now. I mean, look
that,
at
that. Who's
eating that?
And who's rolling you out of the stadium afterwards?
Right. I mean, the only guy amongst our friends I can think of could get that would be Big Ray.
This is true.
And I'm not trying to be – I mean, Ray would admit that. He would take that down.
Yes, I would agree with
now,
that.
Now, don't get me wrong. Cut that into, like, four portions. You've got four friends getting – you know, if you're going to approach it that way, I might agree with you. All right, now, here's one I got to give credit to.
That's
I think
a
Chris,
lot, man. Chicken parm?
Now, here's something. I'm not exactly going to poo-poo this because it does interest me. It is a batting helmet filled with tiramisu at Yankee Stadium.
That sounds good.
Yep. It is called the Patroni Tiramisu. Yankees have rolled this out. Basically, it's your typical tiramisu, espresso, mascarpone cream, ladyfinger cookies, and cocoa powder. There's an example of it.
Oh, I like that.
Chris, is that a regular size helmet? I can tell if that's
it's a mini.
It's a mini size helmet.
Yeah, but that's a lot, though.
I'll make that disappear. That's I can't crap on that.
The minis, they usually serve in the VIP sections. The ice cream sundaes in those mini helmets, it's one of the best things ever that you can get at the ballpark.
I don't have an image for you, but I'll have to explain this one. It is called the Jibarito Sandwich.
Okay.
Not on the south side. I would think that'd be the south side.
Did you say the chupacabra?
The Chibarito sandwich.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to go with a Puerto Rican sandwich, I would think that would, not to paint with a broad brush,
that'd
be on the south side, not in the north side at Wrigley Field. But that's what the Cubs are offering, originating in Chicago's Puerto Rican community. The Jibarito sandwich contains roast beef, garlic butter, lettuce, tomato, and garlic aioli tucked between two smashed and fried plantains.
Sounds good.
I got to tell you, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, all things being equal.
I just don't want to feel so damn full that you don't want to do anything else.
No, but Wrigley's up their game. They're trying to get people to eat more in the stadium as opposed to Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
They've added chicken and waffles, kimchi burger, puffy tacos with carne asada.
In the stadium?
In the stadium.
Wow. And,
now, did they ever fix the bathrooms at Wrigley Field? There's never enough bathrooms in
that joint. I'm not sure, but I am going up there a little bit later this summer, so I'll figure
it out.
We'll see.
If you're drinking up on those old styles, nothing like peeing in the trough. By the way, there's nothing funnier.
If you've been
to an old bathroom, it's Atlanta Motor Speedway's like that, and you get someone under the age of 30 who gets stage fright. But I've got to urinate next to other men it's literally people just, I've seen guys lock up. And we were at the NASCAR race when I was here with my neighbor, Kirby. I'm crying laughing. So it's a trough. And it was some guy and his kid and the father and this big old boy had a Dale Earnhardt jacket on. And talk about humility. This is going to be a chapter in the kid's book. He goes, "What's the matter, Ronnie? Can't you go with other people around?" I'm like, don't say that in front of me. He's already got stage fright. Now you've compounded it.
Yeah, look, some guys
I guess you'll have to wait for one of the stalls to open.
Some guys walk in there with their chest open. Oh, is that kind of urinal? Excuse me. They can't wait to just... Here, I need some more room.
I'll never forget. First time my dad took me to Wrigley Field, and they had that. Because we used to go watch the Mets on road trips. And I'm like, my dad's like, what's wrong? My old man's like, how do you think we go into Marines? There's no stalls. There's no doors. But anyway, there you go. Meanwhile, one more I got for you. I don't know where you fall on this, Carl. I got to feel personally that, and there are some great options at Truist Park, but the best baseball food as far as consistency is Dodger Stadium.
It's great.
I think, have you ever had a Dodger dog, Chris?
Of course.
Chris, yes. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, they're offering the Slugger 16-inch jalapeno cheddar sausage topped with corn relish, white cheddar cheese sauce, cilantro, crema, and crunchy tortilla strips served with fries. The elongated, custom-made sausage can be found in the left field pavilion in the Think Blue Barbecue section. They say the Dodger fans can also indulge in a new home run platter, a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Elvis would be proud.
Oh, I love fried. State Fair, you can get that fried peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
So that's to have that at the ballpark is cool.
All right, last one. I got to show Carl.
I love all this stuff, man. I wish we could go to every ballpark and try all these foods.
That Wrigley Field stuff, I got to be honest. That years ago, if you remember for our audience, when Jarvis was our engineer, this is the old days of the old Turner Field. We broadcast
Burgerita.
Live right down the street. Chris, they had this thing called the Burgerita. And it was basically, how do you describe it? Like two slices of pizza with a giant burger in the middle with another bun?
Imagine a 10-inch pizza with the burger in between, but you have two pizzas squished together.
Right.
And I told Jarvis I'd give him a C note if he could finish it.
It was going to be $200.
And so I said, if you can finish this on the air, you only have a limited time.
I think we gave him 10 minutes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
no, was it 15?
Maybe.
Whatever it was.
It's on film somewhere.
He ate a friggin' hot dog about a half hour before he did it.
Well, he's snacking before he actually has to do this competition because we wanted to make sure everything was on the up and up. So we send somebody to go get the Burgerita. They bring it back. We're telling our listeners, hey, Jarvis is about to eat this thing. Mm-hmm. It's going down.
We got 200 people watching it.
And this is over at Turner Field, over the old Turner Field. And, Jarvis – and for you guys who've never seen Jarvis, what's up, man? He's 5'6"?
Played defensive tackle at Albany State. Yeah.
290 at least.
Right.
Now, he's lost weight, but I'm just telling you, he's a big dude, but he couldn't finish it. And we were crying because, Chris, you've seen those eating competitions where you've got like that last little bit, but you can't eat it. And he was literally, I got to finish this. And we had the money on the table. He could not finish
it. And we're screaming at him, like, why are you eating? He had, like, two hot dogs, like, literally a half hour before we were going to put them on the clock.
Yeah, Burgerita. Anyway, Burgerita. Yeah, I got a picture that. Somewhere that day.
I think we got it out there somewhere. Anyway, real quick, last thing. I showed Carl a picture of this. I don't know if this looks that edible, but it's a corn dog wrapped in, like, something blue.
Yeah, that does. How big is that?
It looks pretty jumbo. It is called by the Mariners the What Up Corn Dog.
What up?
What up?
What up?
Again, the team describes it as Mariners Blue, honey-battered corn dog with a spicy crunch served with nacho cheese.
Oh, so they dip it.
Yep.
Okay.
It can be found at different sections at the Mariners ballpark. They also have Ichi. They call them Ichi Wings. Ichiro Suzuki, basically like Japanese, or I guess their version of like of wings.
Interesting.
Much like Korean wings.
Yeah, I'm not a big corn dog guy, right. Although I've had them. I mean, I don't. That's not something I would have at the ballpark. But that sounds tempting. It does.
Right. Hey, we're just throwing this out. If you're just tuning in, guys, it's Guy Talk here on Dukes of Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Get ready for the tournament. Braves are in action, down 2-1 in the bottom of the second. But we were just talking about all the different really gastronomical options, some of the more interesting ones around Major League Ballpark. Some, you know, I kind of looked at it and I said, you know, some of those are over the top, but some are actually
– sound good.
Yeah, that – I'd never step foot in Yankee Stadium. But I tell you what, you give me a tiramisu and a little mini helmet, watch that disappear. Hey, real quick, a shout-out to the guys while we're talking about food. Meant to mention this the other day. You know, we all talk about – Carl and I joke around about fast food, and, you know, there's certain things you're just going to wait for. Where I live, I'm blessed. When I go to the Popeyes drive-thru, I'm literally, Carl, in and out in under 3 minutes.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's the Peachtree City or the Sharpsburg one. I know sometimes.
Yeah, that never happens.
If you're on the one in Windy Hill, your mileage may vary. But we've talked about certain ways. The Chick-fil-A, you know, obviously drive-thru is you could argue, the best and probably the most efficient in all the fast food. Shout out to the kids. They get a bunch of high school kids working at the one in Peachtree City. Whenever I roll in the drive-thru with Mike and Ike, my dog, they always, you know, give them the treats. They always have little puppy treats. Well, the other day, the kid comes out. Carl, he goes, hey, this family, we made one extra ice cream cone. Would your dog like it? He hands it to me. Before I can answer the question,
gone.
Now, not you want to feed your dog ice cream on a daily basis, maybe, you know, once every 3 months. Anyway, thanks to the kids. The little man went to town on that vanilla ice cream. Hey, one last nugget for you. We've talked a lot about what's going on in the draft. Deion Sanders walking back some of those Eli Manning comments. Some folks thought maybe that Deion Sanders and his camp would kind of do what Archie Manning did with Eli, not wanting his son to play for the dysfunctional then Chargers organization, maybe slightly less dysfunctional now for the Spanos family. And saying that he's happy with any of the teams that might select his son. So there's no posturing from Deion.
Okay.
Maybe wondering if that's why his son's brand was taking a hit, because some of these GMs have a mean on for Deion.
Do you believe it, though? I mean, do you think there'll be pushback? I mean, listen, the Giants, and being in New York City,
right?
He could be a megastar if he's as good as they think he is. I would not say that's a bad organization. And, again, Eli went there. I mean, it's not a bad situation.
It ain't great right now, but it was certainly when Eli went, things were better. Real quick, final note. Should Jeremy Pruitt win a multi-million dollar lawsuit against the NCAA for doing something that when he did it was illegal, and then a year and a half later, it's legal? Jeremy Pruitt has got a lawsuit he's bringing against the former Tennessee coach, Alabama and Georgia assistant, for $100 million, Carl.
Ooh.
Basically saying that the NCAA made him a scapegoat. He's bringing the suit into DeKalb County, Alabama, claiming that the NCAA conspired with the University of Tennessee to make him the, quote, sacrificial lamb for rules violations, resulting in his firing and a 6-year show cause penalty. His wife was also involved, as well as part of the bag person in that deal.
I wondered what happened with Pruitt. I wondered what had happened.
He was basically, you know, there was some money. It was old school kind of paying the kids off, the way it was explained to me at the time. But he's saying, well, now, of course, at NIL, why should I be, you know, what's the old line from Apocalypse Now, Martin Sheen? My dad used to love that line. It's like giving away speeding tickets at the Indy 500, you know. But anyway, Pruitt's got a lawsuit, so good luck with that.
All right, man. Coming up, Falcon Reports on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks. What's up, Turtle? What's up, Turtle?
Breaking news from the Atlanta Falcons. We will tell you on the other side.
Oh, I must. You know what? I'm going to stay here for that.
They have signed a position that is a fan favorite. That may signal the end of his time in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's a hell of a tease.
Well, stay right there. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.